This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois, by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Taylor Tire and Auto on West Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
Crop insurance has become an important piece of the puzzle for today's farms. So why not let the professionals at Farm Credit Services of Illinois show you how crop insurance can be a good fit for your operation. Learn the ins and outs about today's coverage plans, acceptable replant options, and preventative planning guidelines. Plus the latest information on changes to the federal crop insurance program. You get up-to-date information on your policy coverage, delivered by professionals who know farming and the benefits crop insurance can provide. There's a lot to know about crop insurance, and Farm Credit delivers the best value for your premium dollar. For information on crop insurance coverage for your farm, call us today at 800-444-FARM. That's 800-444-F-A-R-M. Crop insurance through Farm Credit of Illinois. It's a good fit.
Get your car ready for the holidays at Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield. Wheel alignments, shocks, struts, suspension, steering repairs, and more. Mike Taylor and the experienced staff will diagnose the problem and make the necessary repairs using quality chassis parts. Taylor Tire and Auto Service in Litchfield will be closed from December 24th through January 1st to spend time with family during the holidays. Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Street in Litchfield.
It's 10 minutes after 6 on this Friday morning, and electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now. March wheat trading at 7.93 and 3 quarter, up 3 and a quarter. May wheat trading at 8.05 and a quarter, up 3 and a quarter. March corn now trading at 7.01 and a quarter, up 4 and 3 quarter. May wheat trading at 7.04 and a quarter, up 4 and a half. January soybeans this morning trading at 14.21, up 12 and a quarter. March beans trading at 14.17 and a quarter, up 12 and a half. The overnight crude oil market $1.13 lower at $89, while the Brent crude 70 cents lower at $109.50. The February gold contract a half dollar higher at $1,646.40. The U.S. dollar index 0.144 higher at 79.404. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, March wheat ended at 790 and a half, down 15 and a quarter. May wheat ended at 802, down 15 and a quarter. July wheat ended at 807 and three quarter, down 15 and a quarter. March corn yesterday ended at 696 and a half, down 6 and a half. May corn ended at 699 and three quarter, down 7 and a quarter. July corn ended at 697 and a quarter, down 8 and a half. January soybeans yesterday ended at 1408 and three quarter, down 28 and a quarter. March beans ended at 1404 and three quarter, down 26 and a quarter. May beans ended at 1394 and three quarter, down 24 and three quarter. January soybean meal yesterday ended at 427.70, down 88. March meal ended at $425, down 91. May meal ended at 416.40, down 86. January soybean oil yesterday ended at 47.91, down a half dollar. March oil ended at 48.31, down 44. May oil ended at 48.79, down 43. March oats yesterday ended at 359 and three quarter, down 15 and a half. May oats ended at 367 and a quarter, down 15 and a quarter. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with today's Thursday's grain market report. The Illinois Kinder grain prices did end lower on Thursday afternoon. The cancellation of the sale of 540,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans by China weakened soybean futures. The cancellation, the second in 2 days, has totaled 840,000 tons. Weekly export sales figures for soybeans were also under trade expectations. In northern and western Illinois, Kinder grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 5 to 7 lower at 683 to 704. Soybean bids mostly 24 to 30 lower at 1384 to 1392. In central Illinois, Kinder grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 6 to 7 cents weaker at 688 to 705. And soybeans dropped 27 to 36 cents at 1395 to 1412. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 6 cents at 665 to 713. Soybeans declined 27 to 34 cents at 1411 to 1433. And wheat bids mostly 12 to 15 lower at 752 to 780. Illinois soybean processors cashed soybean bids down 28 cents at 1424 to 1434. Basis ended unchanged, ranging from 15 to 25 over January. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis down $7.80 to $8.80 a ton to range from $4.39.70 to $4.49.70. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids down 6 to 7 cents at $6.99 to $7.06 with basis unchanged at 3 to 10 over the March. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 7 cents lower at $6.71 to $6.77, basis unchanged at 25 to 19 under March. Soybeans were down 24 to 33 cents at 1424 to 1425, with basis ending mixed ranging from 15 to 16 over January. New crop wheat prices for July 13 delivery dropped 15 cents on Thursday at 766 to 778, and the basis ended steady at 42 to 30 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 6 to 7 cents lower at 657 to 676. These same elevators lowered their soybean prices by 33 to 34 cents with quotations at 1444 to 1448. Soft red winter wheat fell 15 cents at 780 to 781 and Milo Downs 6 at 658 to 659. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. At country elevators, two producers, new crop corn bids range from 557 up to 569. New crop soybean bids at 1233 to 1248. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 563 to 584, new crop beans at 1247 up to 1263, and in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 562 to 587, new crop soybean bids at 1243 to 1258, and the new crop wheat for July 13 delivery, those bids range from 752 up to 778. That is our country grain report for Thursday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday. February hogs ended at 86.45, down 12. April hogs ended at 91.17, down 27. May hogs ended at 98.50, down 45. December cattle yesterday ended at 128.95, down 52. February cattle ended at 133.50, down 85. March cattle ended at 137.40, down 55. January feeder cattle Thursday ended at 152.27, down $1.20. March feeders 154.85, down 90. And April feeders ended at 156.65, down 82. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Livestock Market Report.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture, bringing you the afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis traded 37 cents lower. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded in the range of $66 to $80.25. With weighted carcass average of 79.08. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows traded mostly steady. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at $41 to $47, and from 400 to 500 pounds, $43 to $48, with a few at $52. The over 500-pound sows were $50 to $54, with a few at $55. Boars under 300 pounds, $36 to $40, and over 300 pounds, $10 to $16. The Illinois Direct Hog Trade, Barrel and Gilts, at country buying points traded mostly steady, ranging from $50 to $55. Receipts for Illinois hogs have totaled 12,878 head. And in the direct cattle trade, steers on a cash basis traded at 129, with steers and heifers on a carcass basis trading at 200. The cattle trade in Illinois at the Greenville auction had receipts of 519 head, and compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded $1 to $1.50 higher, Holstein steers traded at $1.50 to $2 higher, slaughter cows traded $1 higher, with slaughter bulls being sold unevenly steady, and feeder cattle were mostly steady in a light test. The choice slaughter steers brought 124 to 127, and the choice slaughter Holstein steers brought 111 to 118.50. Choice slaughter heifers, 123.50 to 128. Onto the slaughter cows, premiums brought $90.50. Boners traded for $75 to $80, and the leans $66 to $71. At the walnut auction, opening report had receipts of 281 head compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers were trading $3 to $4 higher, with Holstein steers trading mostly steady. Choice steers selling $128 to $132.75, and choice slaughter Holstein steers $111 to $116. The choice heifers were $129.50 to $132.25. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values of choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses ranged were selling at $192.06, which was $1.49 lower, with select carcasses at $176.70, which was 25 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection for Thursday, cattle slaughter was estimated at 117,000, that compared to 127,000 for last week and 128,000 for a year ago. Hog slaughter was at 380,000, that compared to 433,000 last week and 432,000 for a year ago. On to Real's weekly hay auction at Congerville. Receipts totaled 1,750 bales, and alfalfa premium quality small squares ranged from $5 to $5.75. Orchard alfalfa grass premium small squares were from $5 to $8.25. Alfalfa mixed grass premium quality small squares from $5.50 to $5.75. Orchard grass premium quality small squares ranged from $6 to $6.50, and good quality large round bales sold at $82.50 to $97.50. Mixed grass premium quality small squares sold at $6.75. That concludes our afternoon livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, $1.55, down $1. For block cheese, $1.74, up $2. For barrel cheese, $1.65, up $1.25. And the spot price for Class 3 milk ending Thursday, $18.56. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for December, $6.85. For January, $6.85. Corn delivered to Scottville for December, $6.77. For January, $6.85. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for December, $14.16. And for January, $14.16. Wheat delivered to Scottville for December, $7.47. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again: corn at Greenfield, $6.85. Corn at Scottville, $6.77. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $14.16. and wheat at Scottville, 747. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Friday. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
The time to start planning your 2013 whole farm needs is now. Visit your local crop specialist for a whole farm plan to help integrate your farm input needs. By matching up seed and crop protection programs, M&M Service can ensure you are getting the most out of your hard-earned dollar. M&M Service has the tools and resources to help you budget your farm's needs. As 2012 comes to a close, the entire staff at M&M Service Company would like to wish you and your families a safe and happy holiday season. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Sunny skies, windy today, high temperatures in the low 30s. We will have northwest winds gusting to 35 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the mid-teens. For tomorrow, Saturday, sunny skies, the high in the upper 30s. Your extended forecast for Sunday through Christmas Day, partly cloudy with a chance of rain mixed with snow Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Low temperatures in the upper 20s, high temperatures in the low 40s. Right now at the Weather Center, we have west winds at 12 miles per hour, the barometric pressure rising, our temperature 23 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Once again, the Illinois Department of Transportation has reported some scattered slick spots on the roads around mid-Illinois. Motorists need to keep that in mind as they begin their travels today. Once again, 23 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Listen for high school basketball on the Tally Broadcasting Stations, brought to you by White Variety Store and Coffee, the Moonlight Y in Taylor Springs, Roby Farm and Sales, your GSI dealer in Farmersville, Almond Realty and Appraisal in Nokomis, Young's Roofing in Litchfield, Randy Beidle, your country insurance agent in Bunker Hill, and by the Verdant Dairy Queen for hot eats and cool treats. And for the broadcast and online broadcast schedule, check out our website, WSMIRadio.com.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Taylor & Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop of Mount Olive and by Envirofoam of America. Coming up January 9th through the 11th, the University of Illinois Extension will hold a specialty crop, agritourism, and organic conference at the Crown Plaza in Springfield. We talked to Extension Advisor David Shiley about the conference.
It's an opportunity for producers of what used to be called alternative crops, but are becoming primary crops, for them to come together, learn about the newest research and technology, growing fruits, vegetables, cover crops, organic crops, as well as livestock and herbs. And it's a conference that occurs every year, and combined with all of our associations of those specialty crops and organic and agritourism.
Where will this be held?
It's held at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Springfield. And the conference starts, they have a pre-conference that begins on January 9th. And the pre-conference has four tracks. So if you want some intensive education all day, you can either follow, you can mix and match, but you could follow a track that's going to just deal with high tunnels, high tunnel production, a way to extend the season here in Illinois of growing vegetables. There's a track on use of cover crops. There's a track on basic orchard establishment, tree fruit production, and then a track on sweet corn production. So that occurs on Wednesday. And so if you were, you know, exploring the possibility of going and expanding your operation, adding a high tunnel, or using cover crops, this would be a great opportunity to before the conference really begins. And then on Thursday, the 10th of January, and Friday the 11th, again, you can mix and match, but there are going to be topics in the area of agritourism, fruits, vegetables, herbs, organic, and then several topics related to emerging issues and opportunities. And some of those related to small farm production would include irrigation systems, which, you know, a lot of folks are looking at that after last summer. As well as looking at labor laws and practices, insurance options, and so forth, and marketing. So it's a good opportunity to come together for a short period of time and really get some intensive training on and the newest, latest t- technology in the area of vegetable, fruit, and organic production.
Will this also have a trade show, too?
It will have a trade show, and that begins on Wednesday during the pre-conference, and so it's, again, a great opportunity to speak to those seed dealers and equipment operators, companies that related to your base of operation. So, and with folks that are in the commercial corn and soybean growing business here in Illinois that have those same kind of trade shows at the corn and soybean classics, those types of events in the winter. So it's very similar to that. A good opportunity to gather a lot of information and talk to people about various pieces of equipment that you might be purchasing, adding to your operation.
So this is not only aimed at those just beginning in organic crops and specialty crops and agritourism, but those that are already established and maybe even want to expand their operations.
Oh, definitely. And probably the bulk of people that attend this, at least in the past, are producers. They're active producers in the business already, and so they're trying to tweak their operation, make it a little more profitable, and looking at the newest varieties in the sweet corn track, for example. We're going to spend the whole morning on Wednesday talking about sweet corn varieties, the ones that are going to do the best flavor, and looking at genetics just like we would on field corn. So it's the bulk of the people are there that are producers here in Illinois, and of course another side benefit to this type of conference is the opportunity to speak to other growers and network. So the existing growers take advantage of that, and so for someone thinking about this, going into this area of entrepreneurship here in Illinois, it's a great opportunity to talk to people that are already doing it and find out, maybe avoiding some of those pitfalls that they experienced. And most of them are very willing to share their experiences.
And that was Dave Shiley, University of Illinois Extension Advisor, about the Specialty Crop, Agritourism, and Organic Conference. Once again, it will be held at the Crown Plaza in Springfield, January 9th through the 11th. For more information about the conference or to register, go to ilspecialtygrowers.org. The image of the pork industry is a pork checkoff priority. National Pork Board CEO Chris Novak says that was particularly important this past year.
Part of that is a result of animal activist organizations that have pressured food companies to make decisions. And for many of these food companies, they don't think about or acknowledge pork producers, pork production, on a regular basis. We supply their customers, we supply their restaurants, but in terms of having food companies that truly understand modern pork production, we've seen this year a very large gap in their information and understanding about the industry.
Mr. Novak says the image of the pork industry was impacted as consumers have heard stories about sow housing over the past year.
That's a part of the image challenge that our industry is facing. It's one of the reasons that we know in 2013 we will be reaching out to more customers, more consumers, to talk about why we do the things that we do on the farm today, how we've improved not only the welfare of our animals, but also the environmental sustainability of our operations. We know the things that we've done to improve the way that we care for our animals, improve the way that we produce pork, are messages that are important for customers in the food chain as well as to consumers. And we're going to do even more to tell that story in 2013.
For more information, producers can contact the Pork Checkoff Service Center. Go to www.pork.org. The laws and regulations that have pushed ethanol over the past decade are maturing. They top at the lower of either 10% of the total annual supply of gasoline used in the United States or 15 billion gallons in the year 2015. Still, as Todd Gleason reports, the maturing biofuels mandate should soon turn attention away from corn-based ethanol and to soybean-based biodiesel.
Frankly, the United States corn ethanol industry is bumping up against the lower of the two renewable fuel standards thresholds already. For all intensive purposes, the 10% threshold, or what is referred to as the blend wall, has kept the industry from expanding its capacity. That being said, the advanced biofuels portion of the legislation could soon cause the other primary row crop in the United States to be more fully integrated into the nation's fuel supply, says University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin.
Intriguingly enough, even though all of the headlines are consumed with the waiver request, which was driven by the drought in corn and corn ethanol use, going forward, because of the blend wall, it looks like corn is going to likely lose its leading role in driving the support for grain and oilseed prices that we've seen. And it's very possible that that could switch to soybeans and biodiesel.
Here are the reasons why, according to University of Illinois analysis.
Very soon, possibly as early as 2014, so just a little over a year from now, we could be facing a major collision between, under a blend wall, our options for meeting the total renewable fuels mandate standards and realities within world vegetable oil markets. Basically, it means you're to meet this these mandates going forward because of the blend wall and the caps that it puts on ethanol. You either are going to have to pull in massive quantities of ethanol imports from Brazil, which we believe there are limits on that because of their internal policies, or you have to dramatically ramp up biodiesel.
Dramatically has a number attached to it. Irwin suggests it would be possible to consume as much as 60 to 70% of all vegetable oils and fats supplies available in the United States.
That can't happen. So that's the real pressure that's going to come to bear on revising the RFS, is simply there isn't enough supply to make that much biodiesel and not have, just a consumer revolt because of what it does to vegetable oil prices.
Still, until Congress takes up the issue, the mandates are in place, and it seems clear to Scott Irwin, soybean oil for biodiesel will drive the commodity markets. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Advanced production techniques, informed growing practices, and improved seed varieties help corn growers achieve high yields in the National Corn Growers Association 2012 National Corn Yield Contest. Despite a severe drought that plagued most of the Corn Belt, entrants continued to far surpass the national average corn yield, even doubling it in some circumstances. The National Corn Yield Contest is in its 48th year and remains the NCGA's most popular program for members. With 8,262 entries, the 2012 National Corn Growers Association National Corn Yield Contest neared the participation record set last year of 8,425 entries. Notably, 2012 still marks a dramatic trend toward higher entry rates, far surpassing the previous entry record set in 2010 of 7,125 entries. The 18 winners in six production categories had verified yields averaging more than 316.322 bushel, compared to the projected national average of 122.3 bushel per acre in 2012. Notably, while the national average declined significantly from a projection of 146.7 bushel at this time in 2011, the contest average rose by more than 3 bushel per acre. While there is no overall contest winner, yields from first, second, and third place farmers' overall production categories topped out at 384.36 bushel. The national and state contest winners will be honored at the 2013 Commodity Classic in Kissimmee, Florida, February 28th through March 2nd. Contest winners will also be featured in a special edition of Progressive Farmer magazine. A reminder, the Hamilton Hay Auction will be held this weekend at their site near Fosterburg. Consignments will be accepted beginning at noon today up until the sale time, which is Saturday at 11. For more information, you can talk to Mike Hamilton at 618-410-4293. part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by EnviroFoam of America and by the Taylor and Soaps Tea Room and Gift Shop in Mount Olive. In electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade right now, March wheat trading at 7.93 and a quarter, up 2 3/4. May wheat trading at 8.04 and a half, up 2 1/2. March corn now trading at $7.75, up 4 1/4. May corn trading at 7.04 and a half, up 4 3/4. January soybeans trading at 14.19 and a quarter, up 10 and a half. March beans trading at 14.15 and a half, up 10 and 3/4. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on WSMI and WSMI FM 106.